You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Wednesday, 23 October. We've got local September inflation due at 10 a.m. Expected is 3.9%. Somebody please tell the governor. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Mateta Tulari from RMB. Sasol production update. Not much changing, but the market not liking. Stephen Rosenberg, he is CEO of Sanlam Alternative Investment, understanding the role and impact of alternative investing, particularly in the realm of a long-term insurer. And then Freya Adams, CEO of Structured Products Annuities at Momentum Wealth, what to consider before purchasing an annuity. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines for MoneyWeb. SAA is debt-free but needs a capital injection, Scopa is told. Business Day, IMF raises SA forecasts but warns on global tensions. Forecasts 1.1% for this year, 1.5% for next year in its latest outlook. Morning markets, US was mixed. We had S&P down a tenth, NASDAQ up a tenth of a percent. Over in the East, mixed. Sydney down a third of a percent, Tokyo off 0.4%. Hong Kong is up 1.4% and Tencent up 1.5%. Commodities, green. Gold, 2,760. Brent, 75.86. Platinum, 1,044. Palladium, 1,079. Rand, 17.55. Bitcoin, 66,900. Top 40 opening call, 215 points to the green. That's a little over 0.25% higher.
MoneyWeb Now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Joining now with Mateta Tulari, he's head of FX Execution, RMB. Mateta, appreciate the early morning time. The Sasol production update, third quarter, it seemed all in line. At NatRef, maybe a little lower. Guidance dropped to 0 to 10% from 5 to 15%. Otherwise, pretty much remains the same. Issues pretty much well known, but your market did not like, stock down about 5%. I suspect maybe the market was hoping for some positive change and they didn't get it.
Good morning, Simon. Yes, look, I mean, Sasol did mention that they've grappled with a stronger rand, volatile oil prices, and also shrinking refining margins for the first three months of the financial year. Now, also adding to all of this is the fact that global chemical markets remained oversupplied, and also you've got higher input costs and also weak chemical prices and demand that is impacting the margins. And I mean, that business performance continues to be impacted by the macro volatility. Like you said, yes, the share price was down 5% yesterday. And year to date, it has fallen 42% so far this year. And I mean, if you look at the mining saleable production of around 7.5 million tons for the first quarter that ended September the 30th, that is down about close to 4% in the same quarter as the year before. The gas production numbers in Mozambique, that rose slightly by 3.3%. Production at the Secunda operations, that was down about close to 2%. And I mean, they did allude to the fact that, look, the shutdown at Secunda, you know, that phase of shutdown was completed on time. The business is facing some challenges from ongoing coal quality issues, as well as shutdowns that have really impacted the production and sales volumes. You know, on top of this, for me, you know, the impact was obviously, and the numbers where I was looking at was also around the Africa sales volumes that fell about close to 5%. That's due to lower sales volumes and also the average basket price remaining flat. You're looking at also the sales volumes to America, that dropped 11%. The only uptick was the sales volumes in the Euro-Asia region that was slightly, you know, up around 1.2%. But also, you know, for me, the other interesting fact was the fact that, you know, they have now said that 69 megawatt Msinga Emoyeni wind farm in the eastern state. That has started commercial operations this month. That is supplying power to Sasolburg operations via the national grid. And I think for them, it is a milestone in meeting the renewable energy target by 2030. As you know, that obviously renewable energy, ESG, and the likes are something that the likes of Sasol, Exxaro, all these other, you know, big petrochemical and mining companies are facing. But look, overall, I think the market was really disappointed. As you said, I mean, we've seen them down 5% yesterday and obviously 42% down this year. It is going to be hard for them to come back from what is happening. But I think, as I said, they're trying to streamline their operations. And obviously, with all these phase shutdowns being completed, and hopefully the macroeconomic environment changing somewhat and looking a bit optimistic, then it will help their business. But at this point in time, not a great picture for them.
Not a great picture. Stock trading back at, what, November 2020 levels. It is tough being Sasol. I think it's even tougher being a Sasol shareholder. Potato Tolari, RMB, appreciate the early morning time. And that's our poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter. Are you holding Sasol? I mean, lots of folks on the Twitters like it. But I mean, at this point in time, that stock is just going down. What did Mateta say? They're more than 40% off this year. Have your vote. Have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. The Standard Flexible Income Fund is designed for pre- and post-retirement income and capital preservation needs. Retire without regret with Stanlib Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
I'm joined with Stephen Rosenberg. He's CEO of Sunlum Alternative Investments. Stephen, appreciate the time today. I suppose let's kick off sort of a broad question around Sunlum and their role in the alternative investment space and how you got involved in the particular space of alternative investments.
Yeah, sure. Hi, Simon. Yeah, so Sunlum Alternative Investments is part of the Sunlum Investment Group. And alternative investments is actually a key part of a group like Sunlum, in the sense that alternative investment as an asset class, apart from the huge impact that it contributes to the world, which I'll get into, it is also a long-term asset class. And we as a life insurance company, as part of a life insurance company, Sunlum Group, are a long-term investor in these type of assets. So whether it be infrastructure projects or renewable energies, you know, whether it be hospitals or whether it be educational institutions or whether it be lending money or an equity investment, we're a long-term investor in a whole range of these different type of investments. And that would be for our annuity portfolios or our pension fund investments or our long-term liabilities. So we're a natural investor. But it's a very important part of our business. I mean, our business is the alternatives business. We want to, you know, our purpose, we see ourselves as a business which wants to help build African continent and make a sustainable difference in, you know, those economies in which we operate. And it's so key because, you know, as you know, Sunlum is the biggest non-banking financial institution on the continent. We operate in 27 countries in Africa plus India. And, you know, we have a long history of strong risk management and governance. So for us, it's a key investment. And as a key investor, because of who we are, we feel that that's a competitive advantage as well for us in terms of attracting third-party investors to co-invest with us.
And I take your point. And you mentioned two things. I was going to follow up to say, what's the attraction of sort of alternative investments? You know, is it the uncorrelated returns? Is it the impact? But you mentioned it is around impact. And it is around long-term. As you say, you're a long-term insurer. It meets that need and gets you away. You know, markets can be wild places. This is a sort of a different psychology investing in alternatives. You don't get daily pricing. You don't get daily mark-to-market. You're going to chat with management. You're going to get the cash flows rather than worry about day-to-day.
Yeah, so I think there's a few points that go with that. On one level, and this is a key part of, you know, those type of investors which are prepared to, you know, lock away money for 10 years, although there is often more liquidity than attached to these type of assets. So you would normally expect to get a little bit of a slightly higher return than what you would get in the more listed type of asset. And as you say, there's a significant diversification. You are getting access to assets that you wouldn't otherwise be able to get access to. But that liquidity premium is quite an important component for the likes of a life company or a long-term investor like a pension fund. You know, you don't need access to funds so readily, so you're able to invest in these type of assets and gain a slightly better return, which compounded over many years can make quite a significant impact on the lives of pensioners and policyholders. But the other big attraction is obviously, as you mentioned, the impact. I mean, many of our funds, many of our products and many of our investments, not only are they making a big contribution to the climate, mm-hmm. we have a business within our alternative asset manager, within our alternative investments business called Climate Fund Manager, which is both in the Netherlands and South Africa, well, also various other places in the world like Singapore and Bogota. But the point is that it's a climate fund investor. It's making a huge impact in renewable energy projects, in solar, in water, in hydrogen. So it's part of the Just Energy Transform key initiatives, the hydrogen project that they're looking at now in Namibia and in South Africa. But then also in terms of the creation of jobs, a lot of our private yeah. equity and our private debt businesses have created a significant amount of jobs. We've got a beef business called Cavalier, which is a business which provides a lot of the meat for most of the meat for Woolworth. And it's created hundreds of jobs since we've invested. And we play a strategic role in these businesses. And I think that goes towards the investment return. You play such a significant role in the strategy of these businesses. You're really involved at board level, at strategy level. Mm-hmm. So you can make a difference in these businesses, which is often significantly more than what you might see in the listed space, where you would buy a business based on public information and then you sell it when you think the time is right. You're using your expertise and you're adding value where often some other businesses, some of these businesses may not have. And that certainly happened in a lot of the debt deals where we've contributed, you know, where we've lent money.
And I take your point. I take your point particularly about sort of the impact you can have. You buy a listed company, kind of like an AGM, you get there once a year and you can vote on a few issues. Here, much more hands-on. You also talk around liquidity, and it makes me think that, again, typically in investment, I'm looking to realize a traditional investment by exiting. In the alternative space, is it actually more about the cash flow, perhaps? Particularly, I'm thinking in infrastructure sort of things, whether it be a hospital, a renewable energy, or a school. Cash flow rather than exits?
Yeah, it typically is around the cash flows more than the exits, but there is obviously a pressure on, you know, for example, a private equity fund, it's mm-hmm. a 10-year fund, you've got quite a strong, definite plan around yeah. when you raise your funds, when you will invest them, and when you will exit. You know, good managers will plan their purchase along with the plan of their exit, if you know what I mean. They'll yeah. have an exit plan. They'll have a whole strategy around when to do what and how and to make sure they're out by the end of 10 years for their investors. And often it's a plan which is done with the business you buy, and you incentivize it on that basis as well, even with the company you're buying, yeah.
I take that. You sort of go in with the whole plan and strategy you worked. We'll leave it there. That's Stephen Rosenberg. He's yes. CEO of Sanlam Alternative Investments. Appreciate the time. Let your money weather the storms with Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in the Stanlib Global Select Fund, a diversified all-weather equity portfolio submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Faria Adam, CEO, Structured Products and Annuities at Momentum. Well, Faria, appreciate the early morning. Annuities, living annuities, which is your sort of, it's you invested into the market, you take volatility and you can draw down between 2.5% and 17.5% per year. The other side of the coin is a guaranteed annuity. Talk us through how that works and where it would fit into some retirement planning.
Good morning. Hi. So a guaranteed annuity is exactly what it said. It provides a lot of certainty in terms of locking into an annuity rate. And mm-hmm. that's the amount of income that you receive every year for the rest of your life or every month for the rest of your life. No matter what happens, actually, there's no volatility. So regardless of whether the markets go up or down or how the asset returns look, you will always receive exactly what the insurance company promised. So it's really a living annuity. You can think about it as you take the risk of inflation, whether how long you live, the market returns, whereas the guaranteed annuity offers certainty and the insurance company takes on those risks. So there's no risk really of running out of money regardless of how long you live.
I take your point, and it is that certainty. Is it possible to do a blend? I mean, for example, could I say,
absolutely,
well, let me take a guaranteed annuity for my medical expenses and I can take risk on my grocery bill almost in a sense?
Spot on. That's exactly how you should think about it. So ideally in retirement, what you have is you have what we call life expenses, which is what you mentioned now. It's your medical aid. It's perhaps some rent or groceries, utility bills. And you have to secure that together with a reasonable inflation of those expenses. Guaranteed annuities are an excellent match for that. On your living annuity side, you can almost have a little bit more flexibility to draw down more when you need it, to take some exposure to the market so that you get potentially some upside, but that the downside doesn't significantly affect your lifestyle. So you have the blended annuities, they're called also commonly referred to as hybrid annuities. Mm-hmm. Effectively, you split your money in such a way that you get a guaranteed income stream and a flexible income stream together.
How's a guaranteed annuity taxed? A living annuity, it's income. It's taxed as income in the hands of the taxpayer. A guaranteed annuity, is that also taxed?
Exactly the same. So the bulk of life annuities can, or guaranteed annuities can be purchased with retirement money or with voluntary purchase money. Let's just go the retirement money first, because that's the comparison with living annuities. Exactly the same. Remember that you received a tax benefit when you were saving in your retirement fund. And therefore, the full income is taxed at the client's tax rate as income. Voluntary annuities are a little bit different. That value proposition is really where you convert a lump sum that you've saved on your own and you want to convert it into an income. In that case, when you don't use retirement money, it's only the interest portion of the income that is taxed.
Ah, of course. Okay. And that's an important point because, as you said, you've got the tax benefit as you were saving in that Reg 28 and working it through there. You mentioned the guaranteed. I assuming it's adjusted for inflation. Otherwise, I'm going to get sort of killed over time. It will, I imagine, increase at a contracted amount every year.
So choosing an increase rate is one of the features that somebody can choose upfront. So when you choose your guaranteed annuity, it depends, the income that you get depends on certain factors. Most important factors are age, your gender, and then the features that you choose. So whether you're doing it on one life or two lives, increases is one of the biggest factors that affect the starting income. Now, as you can imagine, if you purchase, let's say you take R1 million and you purchase a level annuity, the income that you get from that will be a lot higher than if you purchase an income that increases at 5% every year. So the starting income on an increasing annuity will generally tend to be much lower. But the inflation benefits of that are substantial. Mm-hmm. So that income, even if it starts lower, continues to increase with inflation. Let's say it increases at a guaranteed 5% every year. And within, I think it's about 9 years, it almost takes over the income on the level annuity. And then it continues to increase for as long as you live. So we still see that roughly 45% of people taking out new contracts still choose a level annuity. Mostly we think that it's because of affordability and the starting income being higher. But over the long term, that's very risky because that client's income is completely exposed to inflation. Remember also these things are for life. So if you retire at age 60, that income, a level income, is still going to be at that point 20, 30 years down the line if that income is still paying out.
Yeah, and that's a great point because these days you retire at 60 and 90 is there's a good odds that one of the partners is going to live to 90. We'll leave it there. Faria Adam, CEO of Structured Products and UAT's Momentum Wealth, appreciate the early morning. That's it for today. We were chatting with Kieran Whitten yesterday from Anchor. We were talking around the contrasting results from TSMC and ASML. The former doing well, the latter struggling a bit with their ultraviolet products. We asked if you owned either of these semiconductor stocks. Almost half said, yep, you got the TSMC. A third said you're holding ASML. The rest said you preferred other in the semiconductor space. I imagine many cases, perhaps NVIDIA. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow, China.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.